right here, it's kind of our obligatory Mavs segment of the day, and we have to keep doing it because nothing's changing. You know, there's no hire. There's no GM hire. Subsequently, no coaching hire. Now, Toronto Raptors general manager Masai Ujiri has still not signed his contract that would keep him in Toronto, which, as Brian Windhorst from ESPN said yesterday, is bizarre. I mean, we're heading into an offseason where, yeah, for example, you know, you've got Becky Hammon making it to the final stages of an interview for the head coaching position in Portland. You know, a lot of these teams are interviewing head coaches right now so that once they get their head coaches in play and in place, now they can go to the next step of the offseason, which is building a team. Free agency will be here very soon. You know, the lottery's tonight. So this is just, it's crazy. It's crazy on both ends. It's crazy the Mavericks don't have a GM at this juncture, and it's crazy that the guy that we're all fantasizing about in Ujiri hasn't signed an extension or a new contract in Toronto. So that is at least keeping the faint amount of hope alive. But I think one of the big things that people are wondering, whether it's you bring in Ujiri or you bring in anybody else or you promote Michael Finley, is what are we doing with Bob Valgaris?
Yeah.
The director of analytics, of quantitative research, who reportedly was at the heart of a lot of these rifts with Donnie and then subsequently with Cuban. Is he going to be here? And if he's going to be here, is he going to be at games? Will his role be revised to where he's not dictating and having as much power as he did before? Would a new GM even want to deal with that? Would a new GM have the power to fire him? We know his contract's up, but we haven't seen any news on whether or not it hasn't been renewed. And typically, I would say with an analytics, with a head of analytics, they might not say publicly, hey, we're not going to retain this guy, his contract ran out.
Right.
But with this one, I think you have to. I think it's a big enough story to where if he's not coming back, they need a press release saying he will not be back. If for no other reason than to, you know, assuage the fears of the fan base and possibly even, you know, prospective GM candidates.
I think it's a little strange they haven't addressed that at all. And it leads me to believe, kind of like what you were saying, I almost expect that they would say if he's not coming back. And if they don't, I'm of the idea that that means he is, yeah. I guess. Like, I need you to tell me that he's not. Otherwise, I'm assuming that he is just because of everything that's come out, how much weight it appears this dude is carrying within the franchise. They need to do something. I mean, we discussed this a little bit yesterday, but it is odd. As you pointed out, the draft lottery's tonight. You're right around the corner from not just the draft and free agency, trying to figure all this out, man. And you got to have the GM to get the coach. There's only so many coaching vacancies. Is it possible you're losing a guy that you might want because you're just sitting on your haunches?
I mean, imagine if the Mavericks had like the fifth or sixth overall pick after tonight. Now, they don't have any picks. But imagine if they did.
It'd be
a month and a week away from the draft.
You couldn't do it.
It's crazy. So to your point about how much sway Bob did have, Sam Amick of The Athletic, who co-wrote that piece with Tim Cato, the initial one and really all the subsequent follow-ups to it, was on Rich Eisen's show. And I wanted to play you a couple clips here, and then we can discuss. This is where they're just talking about Valgaris' power and how Carlisle and Donnie dealt with that.
When it comes to Rick and Bob Valgaris, our understanding was that, again, Rick had been adaptable. If I had to guess, I mean, for a proud coach who's accomplished a lot and is very good at what he does, that had to be a tough pill to swallow. Because, Rich, I'm not talking about just hearing, you know, the analytics guy out a little bit regarding rotations or playing time or style or strategy. I'm talking about, like, very direct line, you know, in game one of the playoffs, you know, let's try Boban in the starting lineup. And feeling that pressure, or wherever, whenever they started playing Boban as a starter. But like it wasn't advice anymore. It was the feeling that, you know, if you say no to these things, you're probably going to be on the wrong side of things. So all those things match up to have a guy in Rick Carlisle who he's too good at this to sit around and stay in that environment. I think he's going to be in the mix for a lot of these other jobs, and obviously he chose to move on.
So I think it's important to note that this guy who covers the NBA and has contacts with every single team and has been doing this for a minute is saying, look, this is every team has analytics, guys. Some teams value them more than others. This is beyond that. This is a guy who has created the vibe in the franchise that if you don't listen to him, you could be gone. Or at minimum, you can't override him.
To the effect of the whole thing with Boban and that idea that Rick felt a coach that's won a ring, that has the accolades, everything that comes with Rick Carlisle, he felt he had to follow along with the idea that we're going to put a dude in who had never started a playoff game in his life up until the time when the Mavs, what was that, game five, I think it was. He said game one, but it was later in the series because he didn't play like the first three at all. You know, and game seven, the most important game of the season, Boban played as many minutes as he has ever played in any game in his entire NBA career in a game seven. But Rick felt like he couldn't say no.
Right. That's wild. That's wild.
It is.
And even if some or a lot of the things that that Vulgaris were suggesting, even if they were good ideas, everybody's going to have their hits and misses.
Right.
It's more the dysfunctional operation of the information and the relationship. Because even if they're good ideas, if you have a head coach who has a ring and is, at the time, was the third longest tenured head coach in the league, the idea that he, on his card, and I've been told this, on his card, had things from Bob that he had to follow, that's not going to work. And it's not going to work for very long, especially if you have the Luka factor where Luka's looking around like, hey, somebody clear this up for me. So this ultimately, it does come down to relationships. And this the second and final cut that I have here for you is first about how the league is looking at this situation. Because the Mavericks officially hired Vulgaris in 2018. The league also officially got a lot more cozy with gambling and with daily fantasy in 2018.
Right.
Vulgaris had absolutely been consulting for the Mavericks before that. I mean, he's basically said as much. So we'd start with what the league thinks about this.
I mean, listen, this is nothing against Bob. The guy's listening. He's doing something, right? He's just stacking up money based on his intellect and his abilities here. But
right.
If you talk about the league and perception and optics, for sure, I think it's time for me, and personally, I mean, I need to talk to the league more very soon about how they see this right here and right now in 2021, as opposed to, you know, in 2018, my general understanding, again, is I don't know all the ins and outs of this, but there was a fairly serious process where, you know, the league obviously gave the green light on this hire, and they looked at this from a, you know, the gambling standpoint, and they considered all these optics. But, you know, I think the part that Mark misplayed, and there's elements here, not to generalize too much, but, Rich, you know, if you go back to when, you know, Michael Lewis wrote Moneyball and the whole theme of analytics versus old school scouting,
right,
you know, became a major part of sports. There's absolutely themes here that are consistent with that. And then you add in the gambling component. And so my opinion is that as far as Mark goes, he did not understand how big of a problem a lot of his employees had with this from the very beginning. And it really did get compounded. I've been doing this a long time, and I'm not trying to, there's nothing personal ever in reporting, but in terms of personal etiquette, style, all those things, you know, I don't remember running into a subject that I wrote about that where it was just not hard to find folks who really did not enjoy his company. So, you know, those are two big time factors to combine, and they led to where we got here. But the league, you know, if I had to guess, they're needing to look at this again and make sure they're still comfortable with this in light of all the noise that it's made.
Senior.
So, again, a guy who's covered the league for a long time says,
"Yeah,
I've never written about somebody that more people in their own organization hated than this guy."
Like, you can't find anybody with something positive to say about him.
Right. And you could say, well, toughen up. It's not about making friendships. But it is, again, a relationship business. And so that makes me think that regardless of how great the guy's info is, I think you got to move on. I think you have to. Even I don't know that it's enough to just say he's going back to the shadows, because now we all know. I
think, honestly, I mean, how much power you want to give Luka, but if Luka's like, I don't like the guy,
yeah,
then get rid of him. I mean, isn't this about we're trying to make something where Luka, and he's going to sign the extension and he's going to be here, you hope, all the way through it, because you hope they put around pieces where he doesn't force your hand at the end of it. You know, my greatest fear is that he's going to KD this thing, do 9 years, and then look around and be like, it's not going to happen here. I'm out.
Yeah, I guess I'd be pretty okay with 9. I just want to get to 6 right now. You know, I want to get to the point where he feels like even finishing the second contract, because Oklahoma City got close, but they were cheap.
See, right, and there is that
fear. The Mavericks won't be cheap when it's time to not be cheap, I don't think, anyways.
But the problem, I mean, if you screw this up,
yeah,
then you're the clock, the problem is that it's already started. And if you screw this up, then you're even further behind, and I don't know if you can make up that ground before it's way too late.
The bottom line is the general manager and the coach that the Mavericks hire this summer will dictate whether or not Luka Doncic is a Dallas Maverick past year 6 or not. Because if they fail and if it doesn't work out for them, they fall flat on their face, he will be asking for a trade halfway through his extension. If it does work out, they'll be competitive, yeah, and he'll be happy to be here.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.